And now, from the Green 960 studios in San Francisco, this is an organic conversation with Helga Hellberg.
Hello and welcome to An Organic Conversation, a show about organic foods, relationships, and life itself. I'm Helga Hellberg. I hope you had an excellent week. For me, it was actually rather rough. It's just funny how judgmental we can get, how judgmental I can get, mostly with myself, actually. We're definitely our own biggest critic. I came completely prepared and scripted last week to last week's show. And I realized it was suffocating me. And I wondered where else in life I show up completely planned out without actually leaving any room for absorbing what's really going on, for leaving room to manifest as the being that I am. So there was a beautiful highlight that week, last week. And I realized again that consciousness is changing on a mass scale. I was listening to a radio show. I was out of range of Green 960, so I had to listen to public radio, which is also beautiful. And the financial expert on that show was asked, he gave his regular spiel on what's not working, that the financial crisis is now hitting Europe and it will come back to the U.S. and everything you would expect. Nothing really surprisingly new there because, you know, deep down we all know what's going on. And he said, you know, there are some indicators now that the free fall is slowing down. And so the woman who was interviewing him asked him at the end of that segment, what would you advise right now? What's your best advice to the listener? And he paused. And in that pause, the entire universe was listening. It was clear that something really beautiful would be coming. And it was one of those pauses that I miss very much in the media. And he said, you know, the best advice I could really give anyone right now is to go to the place you always wanted to go to. Spend your money in traveling to a place that's been on your list forever. And I thought that was beautiful. I don't know if he meant a foreign country or inwards or whatever his place could be, but it was one of those rare moments of honesty that felt really refreshing. So consciousness is changing. The word of the day is engagement. Being brave enough to show up exactly how we are and who we are. We have created most of the, if not all of the challenges that we are facing as a society right now, so we can also solve them collectively. In our work, it's critical that we stay positive. I love this quote by Mother Teresa, who said, if you march against war, don't call me up. But if you march for peace, I'll be the first in line leading the march. And if you really think about the power of creation, the power, the space it creates when we come from a place of solution, when we come from at least from a place of desire for solution rather than what we're pushing against, we know that whatever we resist persists. So it's kind of an endless pushing. On the other hand, there's ultimate room for creativity and expansion and growth and power in creating a new scenario and to believe in beauty in envisioning a better future. And I think that's what Obama meant when he said, yes, we can. He didn't mean, yes, please elect me and I will take care of it all. He meant, yes, we can. We can believe in a better, sustainable, more just future. And if we do, we can create it. So key in all this is love. We have to use the alchemy of love. And if we can't change things overnight, we must love even more. Martin Luther King is famous for saying that one of the greatest problems of history is that the concepts of love and power have usually been contrasted as opposites. The concepts of love and power have usually been contrasted as opposites, polar opposites, so that love is identified with a resignation of power and power with a denial of love. What is needed is a realization that power without love is reckless and abusive, and that love without power is sentimental and anemic. Power at its best is love implementing the demands of justice. Again, power at its best is love implementing the demands of justice, and justice at its best is power correcting everything that stands against love. Dr. Martin Luther King. So the word today is engagement, and we want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. Whatever comes up for you in this hour, whatever moves you, tell us what you, how you understand the term engagement. How do you feel about it? And the number to call here in the studio is 866-960-5753. Again, 866-960-5753. We are grateful for your calls. We are grateful also for your comments and questions. And I received some very funny ones last week, which was perfect timing. I don't know exactly where this came from, but Mary in Boston inquired about organic rabbit food. And I don't know why that's so funny, but I don't exactly even know what she means by that. Like pellets? Don't rabbit eat carrots? Last time I checked, they ate carrots. So producer of the show is Heidi Hartley. And maybe Heidi, can somebody go online and check if there's organic rabbit food somewhere out there as pellets, I guess? And if it's not, since we are talking about engagement and positive change, maybe all the rabbits in the United States can unite, rabbits united, and write letters to demand organic rabbit food. But again, last time I checked, they ate lettuce and carrots, and there's a lot of food being wasted. And when you have a local farmer, there is food that can be gleaned. There's food that you don't need to buy necessarily. You can just go to the farmer's market and ask somebody, is there a head of lettuce that looks really poor? And then you, at home, put it back in water, and it perks up a little, and you can feed that to your rabbit. And it's, you know, I'm sure you can, if you do another purchase at that booth, get a head of lettuce for free. So I want to point to my blog. It's on helgehelberg.com, where I'm talking about food waste. And I have a challenge out there. I want to reward the 5 best idea on how to utilize what is often considered food waste and what is often discarded with an organic Marin cookbook, a beautiful cookbook featuring the food in Marin County and the members of Marin Organic, small artisan farms. Beautiful photography published by Marin Magazine. And it's a fundraiser for the great work that Marin Organic is doing. So again, helgehelberg.com, check out my blog. I'm excited about my guests today. How are you doing, gentlemen?
Very well.
And we will be discussing sustainable seafood choices. But first, the news.
This is Sustainable Food News, your weekly news service on an organic conversation. I'm Dan McGovern. President Obama has included $1.3 billion for black farmers in the 2010 proposed budget to settle a long-standing lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Thousands of farmers had sued the USDA, claiming they had been denied government loans and other financial assistance that routinely went to whites. The USDA tried to settle the case 10 years ago, when it paid out almost $1 billion on nearly 16,000 claims. But thousands of other claims were not adjudicated due to problems with notifying farmers and processing claims. Many farmers said they were not aware damages were available. To take care of the remaining claims, the 2008 Farm Bill provided the right to file a new claim in federal court. The announcement comes on the heels of a memorandum released 2 weeks ago by Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, detailing an aggressive plan to promote civil rights at the USDA. Maine Governor John Baldacci on Wednesday signed legislation prohibiting the use of gestation crates and veal crates by 2011. The cages immobilize breeding pigs and veal calves for most of their lives. Maine is the 6th U.S. state to ban the confinement. Californians overwhelmingly passed a similar measure by ballot initiative last fall. Colorado, Florida, Arizona, and Oregon also have the animal welfare law on the books. Some of the largest food retailers in the country, including Safeway supermarkets and the Burger King restaurant chain, are increasingly phasing in crate-free and cage-free products due to consumer demand. Promoting organic and sustainable agriculture is no laughing matter. But the topic yielded big laughs on Comedy Central this week. Michael Pollan, author of the best-selling Omnivore's Dilemma and a leader of the sustainable food movement, was a guest on the Colbert Report Wednesday night. Pollan talked about his latest book, In Defense of Food, an Eater's Manifesto. Funny man Colbert grilled Pollan on getting caught buying Fruity Pebbles at a store in Berkeley, with Mrs. Pollan admitting her husband wasn't breastfed. Jon Stewart's The Daily Show ran a piece Thursday mocking chemical industry critics of the organic White House garden, who contend that it will lead to increased obesity and cancer because some people can't afford higher-priced organic fruits and veggies. This is Sustainable Food News, your weekly news service on an organic conversation. I'm Dan McGovern.
Thank you, Dan, so much for the news update. And in my studio here, usually you call in live, is Dan McGovern as a seafood expert, but I do want to talk about Obama. And also in the studio is Kevin Lunny, oyster farmer out on the peninsula at the Point Reyes seashore and also owner of Lunny Ranch. Good morning, both of you.
Morning.
Good morning, Helga.
So Obama announced a $1.2 billion settlement for African-American farmers who were denied a USDA credit application. Is that correct?
Loans and other financial assistance programs by the USDA. Yeah, $1.3 billion.
That's amazing. I mean, I always wonder with lawsuits, how can injustice really be paid back? You know, how can it really be prepaid? But that said, I think the gesture is amazing. And how long was the case? Give me the story.
Well, it goes back decades, really, because farmers for decades have been denied loans and discrimination in the USDA, which they're trying to clean that up now.
What kind of loans were those?
Financial loans, farm loans for farmers to buy equipment, feed anything that would help them grow their business and create their livelihood.
And on what grounds were they denied?
Well, many say that they were just denied because it was the money would go to whites instead of them. Basically, it was just clear cut discrimination.
Wow. Well, go Obama. That's a really beautiful gesture. Kevin, did you know about this?
Yes, I did. About 6 months or 8 months ago when I was in Washington, D.C., and we were talking about the farm bill. We went back there to discuss just these very things, and we met with some people that were directly affected. So it is very exciting to see some of this wrong being righted.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, with every settlement or lawsuit, 40% or 30% goes to the law firm. But good for them. I think it's amazing. I'm sure it wasn't easy for a collective of African-American farmers to find a really great law firm representing them successfully. So I think this is an amazing victory. And
it's not a done deal. This is the $1.3 billion. Sorry, is in the budget proposal, the 2010 proposed budget.
Gotcha.
Now the Bush administration fought paying claims, so this is a great reversal, obviously. But how's that going to be received on Capitol Hill? Definitely let's get this behind us and do the right thing. But others are saying there's a lot of money being.
So you're saying it's allocated, but it's not paid out by any means.
It's proposed. Yeah. It's in the proposed budget as a line item that they want to include. And so once Congress votes on it, we'll know how it's going to pan out.
Well, I hope justice will prevail, and we have to go back and clean up and heal what was not right. You know, and so yes, he has my support once again. I think we have Kenny Beloff on the phone now. Kenny, are you there?
I'm here.
Kenny, wonderful. Thank you. Kenny is the owner and operator of the restaurant Fish, a restaurant in Sausalito in Marin County, California, that features sustainable seafood choices. Kenny, where are you calling in from?
I am in my lovely hotel room in downtown Monterey. We just finished the Cooking for Solutions event last night.
Is it a really lovely hotel?
It is a very lovely hotel. It's, uh, we you know, it's my fifth year at this hotel, so it's kind of my home away from home.
Dan is waving wildly. He said, that's where I stay too. Good for you guys. And how was the conference?
The conference was it was fantastic. It was a very large turnout. The food definitely got bumped up a few notches this year. I thought everyone did some amazing dishes. We donated all the sardines to the event this year from fishing vessel Maya Nicole, which is a local boat out of our harbor, to Nate at the restaurant A16, to Alton Brown, and to Dory Ford at Bon Appetit, and to ourselves to highlight sardines this year, to highlight the bottom of the food chain, to tell the bigger story of the seafood that we should be eating and the seafood we need to focus on staying away from.
Yeah, I know there's a whole debate about how much bottom of the chain feed farmed salmon needs, right?
To me, there's no debate. It needs too much. The energy that's put into farming salmon is outweighs the final result, and we're removing so much forage fish from our oceans to feed these fish, and the forage fish is coming from one part of the world, shipped to another part of the world where the salmon is being farmed, then shipped to the end result, which is the areas like San Francisco, New York, Miami, Los Angeles.
And forage fish is what exactly?
Forage fish would include sardines, anchovies, any bait fish that is the food source for other marine fishes.
And any bycatch, right? Anything basically that comes to the net that will then be ground up and put into fish food. Is that right? Or
Some of the bycatch will be sold. Some of the bycatch has to be thrown overboard because it cannot legally be taken, but it's already you know, dead.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of waste associated with bycatch. There is specific fisheries that actually fish for bait fish to make fish meal, and the Peruvian anchovy is one of the largest fisheries in the world for bait fish, and that fishery has declined in years. And the amount of waste that comes from the factories that actually produce the fish meal is pretty unbelievable.
So we are changing all that. And Kevin, I know that you were down there a year ago or 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And your oyster won Best in Show.
That it did.
Tell us about it. What do you do with Drakesbury oysters, and why is it such a special operation that you run?
Well, Kenny touched on it already. One of the beauties and wonders of molluscan shellfish aquaculture, it is simply the bottom of the food chain, where they're filter feeders and they're eating microalgae, phytoplankton. And step one in the food chain, it's fabulous protein for our bodies. It's not an extractive fish production. It's actually farming. So we plant what we harvest, and we've learned that it's actually from what we understand, what we know in science today, no significant impact at all to the environment where these shellfish farms exist.
And you told me an amazing number a while ago. You said you can create 10 times the amount of protein on the same acreage in water than on land without any inputs. Is that correct?
Yeah. University Extension just did an analysis, kind of back of the envelope. It wasn't really scientifically founded, but on our coastal prairie grasslands, California coastal prairie grasslands, the productivity that we have for raising protein, if you compare that to our shellfish farm in Drake's Estero, our farm is around 1,000 acres. And it would take 30,000 to 50,000 acres of grassland to produce the same amount of protein. So it's 30 to 50 times more efficient and more productive. At the same time, we don't use any feeds, no fertilizers. There's no cultivation, no chemical use whatsoever, and no water use. Water is a huge issue in protein production in this country right now. It's something we have to face in the Midwest. We're facing it everywhere. Shellfish aquaculture, we actually produce 500,000 pounds of shellfish meat per year, and we use less water than a 3-bedroom home would use.
So, Kenny, you So shellfish can be farmed and should be farmed, and it can be farmed sustainably, like with Drake's Bay oysters. What fish do you feature at your restaurant? Because I know the salmon population is so declined that right now I don't even know where you can find wild salmon. I know that legislation is giving them a break, which is hard on fishermen. But what are you featuring that is locally available right now?
Well, locally available, very little right now. I've got the sardines and fresh Monterey calamari. If I go a little bit further south to the San Diego area, I'm featuring some rod and reel caught California yellowtail. But that's about it for California. And obviously, my shellfish, all of my oysters and my mussels come from Tomales Bay.
And those schools of fish are still in fair numbers?
The ones that I mentioned are. Yeah. You brought up salmon. I'm working with a fleet of boats up in Alaska right now that is supplying salmon to the restaurants that have taken our farm-free salmon pledge by pledging to remove farmed salmon off of their menus. So right now I've been bringing down about 1,000 to 2,000 pounds of wild king a week from a small group of boats in a town called Hoonah, which is a four-hour boat ride from Juneau, and we've been exclusively giving those fish to the restaurants at a fair price to be able to sustain the fishermen first and foremost, and also to have it on their menu at a reasonable price that the customers don't run away screaming.
Yes.
So it is important for me to still feature the salmon, especially since we know the vessels that the fish are coming from. And it's very critical for me that these fishermen stay alive. And I do believe that it is the restaurant's job to make sure that this is the next step. It's we have to take care of our producers. Without the producers, we don't have a business. And in my case, since I'm so strict on the seafood that I carry, I need to know the vessel name. I need to know the captain name. I go to all the places. I visit them. I want to see their fishing method. I want to make sure that they're not dragging. I want to make sure that they're not longlining. When I figure all that out and I see it, then we build these relationships, and these relationships will last forever.
Kenny Beloff from the restaurant Fish in Sausalito in Marin County, California. Dan, you are our Sustainable Food News anchor and the publisher of Sustainable Food News, but you're also a seafood expert for, 150 years at this point?
160.
160 years. How did you get into it? Like, what is that? Have you, learned fishing from your dad and then you just never, how does one become a sustainable seafood expert?
Well, I've been writing on seafood for about 15 years.
Why?
In report.
Right. But what drew you? Why fish?
Why fish? Well, I mean, it really started, I was looking for a reporting job. So, and that was open.
Thanks for being honest.
And I took that. But it's fascinating. It's a fascinating industry because it's so dynamic. There's so many moving parts all the time, and it's so many issues that need to be discussed. And increasingly, these issues about the ocean and farmed seafood are increasingly tied to what's happening on land. And I think the more the discussion encompasses all that kind of food production, it's going to be better for everybody. But I do want to just caution some of the listeners a little bit, because I think it's important that we don't paint the industry, any segment of the industry necessarily, with a broad brush saying this is bad. Now, definitely farmed salmon is this is my fourth year attending the Cooking for Solutions event in Monterey, and it always got a bad rap. Because there are a lot of issues with farmed salmon, certainly. But there's also been a lot of gains being made. And certainly there are, if you go to Chile, you've got major issues, huge, the second largest producer, largest producer of farmed salmon. But there's also companies. There's a company in Norway now that just announced this week that they are nearing the completion of developing fish meal. Vegetarian fish meal, so they're getting rid of the forage fish, the anchovies, the sardines, and trying to use soy and rapeseed and canola. things.
Well,
like
I'm sure it's genetically engineered soy. So, and I hear Kenny breathing heavily and Kevin rolling his eyes. Let us take a break real quick. You're listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. We'll be right back after the break.
An Organic Conversation is brought to you by Svatica Skincare. Founded by Janet Lee Katzen, Svatica is a holistic approach to skincare that is 100% pure and natural, free of synthetic chemicals, and includes organic and wild-crafted ingredients. For more information about Svatica Skincare products and the Svatica Spa, visit svatica.com. That's S-P-H-A-T-I-K-A.com.
Hi, I'm Peter Walsh. My wife and I founded Manika Jewelry with the intention to offer a different kind of jewelry. Beautiful, made by local Bay Area artists, and without a social or environmental compromise. Our featured designers use reclaimed precious metals and Kimberly certified gemstones. It's jewelry made with heart and soul. Come visit our store just off Union Square at 11 Maiden Lane in San Francisco, or visit our website at manikajewelry.com.
Frye Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frye never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frye organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frye Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's F-R-E-Y-W-I-N-E.com.
Marin Organic is an association of organic producers in Marin County, California, which has become one of the most progressive voices in the sustainable food movement in the United States. Through its many innovative initiatives, such as a school lunch and gleaning program, Marin Organic is creating a healthy, sustainable, and safe environment for all beings, today and for generations to come. For more information on Marin Organic, its producer members, supporting businesses, and on how to contribute, please visit marinorganic.org.
Sustainable Food News is the premier source of daily news and market information for the organic, sustainable, and natural food industries. Headline after headline, Sustainable Food News reports on a profound shift in food buying habits as more and more people begin to understand the impact of their purchases on the environment and communities around the world. Join Dan McGovern, publisher of Sustainable Food News, every Saturday morning on An Organic Conversation. For more information, visit www.sustainablefoodnews.com.
This is An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. I'm talking with Kenny Beloff, restaurant owner of the restaurant Fish in Sausalito, Marin County, California, Kevin Lunny, Drake's Bay Oysters, and also Lunny Ranch, the only certified organic, certified grass-fed beef operation in Marin County, and Dan McGovern. And we had a lively discussion here after we before we got into the break. And during the break, Kevin saying that, yes, it's not about branding the other, about you know, making sure that everyone knows that the industry is bad, because it's just about us figuring it out, how to do it right. Kevin, can you, what's your take? What are your thoughts?
Well, we know that our wild fisheries are in precipitous decline. That's why we like farmed seafood that's done right. For example, Moluscan shellfish. Everybody knows that's a good system and it works well with the environment. We're very limited in nearshore aquaculture. We also know that the Department of Commerce, NOAA Fisheries, has made a statement that we're going to increase domestic marine aquaculture fivefold by the year 2025. That's the goal. So our feeling is it's going to happen. We can't throw the baby out with the seawater. We need to...
Or the fish.
Exactly. It's absolutely critical that we stay on the cutting edge and develop sustainable methods for farming finfish as well as shellfish. Maybe the species, others could talk about this better than I could, but maybe the species selection, the food requirements, the genetics, there's so much to learn.
But there's something special about salmon for me. There's a spiritual aspect of seeing the salmon run and knowing, you know, there were tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of salmon coming up our rivers generation after generation. And in Marin County, I know it was the coho was extinct for a couple decades. And then, you know, one little fingerling salmon was found. And scientists have always believed that once it's extinct, it will never come back. And then they said, well, it might be a stray. You know, it might be one that went up the wrong river. Well, I actually think that there's a chance that this was a salmon that remembered the generational transfer through the DNA, that this was the creek he originally, his great-great-great-great, you know, ancestors came up that creek, and he kind of checked out how the water quality was. And because of all the organic farming in Marin County, he actually found a new home. And so there's something special about salmon, and I'm sure it's not just salmon. Kenny, what's your take on this?
Well, you just touched on it very well. We have a salmon problem, and the problem is not that we caught all the fish. The problem is not that we ate all the fish. The problem is our water. Salmon are such a resilient species that if they have good, clean, cold, healthy water with a good flow, the salmon will return. We didn't get to fish last year. We're not getting to fish this year. Everything that I know right now tells me that we're not going to fish next year either. By 2011, we would begin to discuss going back out to catch California salmon. Now, all that will remain true and hold true if we fix our water. We are pumping so much water through the Delta to the Central Valley, to Southern California. We're in a drought year again, which doesn't help the situation. But we need to fix our water problems. We need to teach in our curriculums at schools about watershed restoration, about gray water systems. There's some amazing home gray water systems available that actually look have a neat look to them that can be in your garden that can save our water use. To you, and also, Helge, you said salmon is it should be a seasonal treat. It once upon a time it was, until the development of salmon aquaculture made it to where we could wake up on a March morning or a November morning and eat a piece of salmon. It should be for those festivals, those birthdays, those special anniversaries when we get to enjoy it, and then we forget about it for a year. We live in a world now where we wake up, we want a peach, we eat a peach. It doesn't matter what season it is. Global trade has made that possible, but we've forgotten the roots of our food and where they come from, what season it is, what we're supposed to be eating, what's really good for you right now. And again, supporting our local producers, our local farmers, our shellfish, our finfish.
It's a beautiful discussion, because people say, well, if I want my salmon whenever, or if I want my pineapple whenever, even that I would say is dependent on how we do it. As Kevin Lunny just pointed out, that it's really us, you know, we are creating these problems and we can solve them. And I don't think necessarily that it means that we can't have salmon year round if it means it's combined with trade, because I have no idea. I've never been to Alaska, and I know you work with fisheries up there. It would be so wonderful to not just see the package design of why this is a healthy fish, but who caught it? What's the story of the man or woman who went out in their boat, caught that fish? How do they live up there? Can we make food a cultural exchange realize that this is one human species that is figuring this out? I think trade is actually beautiful, and it has so many opportunities. We just don't do it right. Dan, you look like you want to eat the microphone.
Well,
It's not organic.
I think that, forget it. Yeah. I think it's also important, though, I mean, about trade, but even here in our own country, I mean, things like salmon and even farm salmon, if it's done right and it's not, you know, nothing's, it's not perfect, that's for darn sure. And, but it's such a great source of nutrition too. I mean, it tastes great. Wild salmon tastes better, in my opinion, but
oh, yes,
of course, But it's a great source of nutrition and a good protein that a lot of kids in this country are completely missing out on and not able to have. And I think it's important to develop a way to get it more into the hands of the people, so they're not spending their money at on the dollar menu. They're able to afford good fish, and even farmed fish, because it's better for them.
Yeah, but Kenny raised a good point of saying that it's actually the water quality, really, so that our technological advances of now finding out how we can farm salmon perhaps in water that is doesn't have perfect water quality, and find a food source, that it's not really addressing the underlying issue. You know, nature has such a beautiful way of giving us signals, giving us feedback, just like pain in the body is actually a quality of feedback that we then put down with painkillers. Whereas if we really acknowledged it and we would look at the underlying symptom, everything seems to be cause based, not symptom based, not cause based. If we really look deeper and we find the cause of why we don't have enough salmon to feed everyone with it, it's because of the water quality, not because we are fighting over agriculture. Kevin, how is the water quality where you farm, and how have you seen? I know you've been on the land forever, right? You're the third generation.
That's correct. Third generation, where our cows graze around Drake's Estero, where the oysters live. We're very fortunate where we are. It's a small watershed. It's very well managed. So our water quality is really the best in the state of California. Our farm is the only farm allowed to harvest year-round, regardless of rainfall. But Kenny makes such an incredibly important point that watershed management is half of our job as marine ecosystem managers. Because, yes, we care about what we're looking at when we look out over the farm, but we better turn around and look over our shoulder, because there's a lot we can do in our riparian zones. There are a lot we can do even in human-populated areas that cause really significant impacts with stormwater runoff. So that's got to be an experience we all think about when we look at fish in the market. It's our responsibility to protect those waters, and especially these tributaries that support these hydrominous fish like the salmon.
Yeah, and you're completely right. Whatever we do on the land will have a direct impact on the water, and vice versa. It's really, it's funny how we differentiate between these ecosystems when it's really all just one, right? Even the airshed.
Sure. Look at the Gulf of Mexico, the big dead zone, with all the agricultural runoff that's blamed coming down the Mississippi into the Gulf, and nothing's living there.
Yeah, and we talked about mercury in the air last week in your news service, saying how air pollution, mercury, now there's a link that is studied and proven to end up in fish.
Yeah.
And, Rachel Carson wrote this 30 plus years ago in Silent Spring, where she said that industrial toxins end up in the osprey shells of ospreys all the way up in Alaska. So we can't hide, and we can no longer run. And that's a good thing. We have to face up to it. And, I still want to hear how you, Kenny, from being a world-class skateboarder born in Russia, come to California and then end up opening up a sustainable fish restaurant. And from you, Dan, you were looking for a job and, and then end up with
now
your assignment.
Voice.
Isn't that funny how life works? never know what's in storage. And Kevin, with you, third generation, I guess you didn't have a choice, but you look pretty happy and grateful. So we'll come back and talk about our personal stories right after the break. You're listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960.
Thank you.
An Organic Conversation is brought to you by Svatica Skincare. Founded by Janet Lee Katzen, Svatica is a holistic approach to skincare that is 100% pure and natural, free of synthetic chemicals, and includes organic and wild-crafted ingredients. For more information about Svatica skincare products and the Svatica Spa, visit svatica.com. That's Svatica.com.
Hi, I'm Peter Walsh. My wife and I founded Manika Jewelry with the intention to offer a different kind of jewelry. Beautiful, made by local Bay Area artists, and without a social or environmental compromise. Our featured designers use reclaimed precious metals and Kimberly certified gemstones. It's jewelry made with heart and soul. Come visit our store just off Union Square at 11 Maiden Lane in San Francisco, or visit our website at manikajewelry.com.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Marin Organic is an association of organic producers in Marin County, California, which has become one of the most progressive voices in the sustainable food movement in the United States. Through its many innovative initiatives, such as a school lunch and gleaning program, Marin Organic is creating a healthy, sustainable, and safe environment for all beings, today and for generations to come. For more information on Marin Organic, its producer members, supporting businesses, and on how to contribute, please visit marinorganic.org.
Sustainable Food News is the premier source of daily news and market information for the organic, sustainable, and natural food industries. Headline after headline, Sustainable Food News reports on a profound shift in food buying habits as more and more people begin to understand the impact of their purchases on the environment and communities around the world. Join Dan McGovern, publisher of Sustainable Food News, every Saturday morning on An Organic Conversation. For more information, visit www.sustainablefoodnews.com.
And welcome back to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg. Again, the number to call if you have any questions about seafood, life, organic food production, or rabbit food, it's 866-960-5753. 866-960-5753. So, Kenny, you owe us a story. Born in Russia, skateboard champion, and now owner of fish restaurant. What's the link?
I don't know how all that happened. you know, my family and I, we came to the States in 1981 and settled on the East Coast after New York for a little bit. We wound up in North Carolina, and then that was my schooling days, and then ended up in Florida where I was continuing my skateboarding career and trying to start a business in the Soviet Union. And became addicted to saltwater fishing. Made my way to San Francisco and continued fishing. Oh, a strange sound. Let's see. Found myself in the photography business, and when the business in Russia didn't pan out, and continued fishing. And the California rockfish kind of is what opened my eyes to what was going on. I spent a lot of time on rock cod boats, rockfish boats, what you know known as party boats, where they take about 20 to 30 people out fishing.
And we were fishing. Half throw up, half
right.
Down so the water. They don't 20. Even get to fish.
Exactly. So that was in the mid 90s when
I've done that once.
You could still fish in the deep water. And I was watching people catch these rockfish, and when they came up to the surface, they were already dead because they came from such great depths.
Yeah, they're blown there.
And if they weren't a good size, then people would just throw them overboard waiting to catch the big one. Mm. And there would be a sea of floating fish. And it just really made me think, well, if this is happening on this boat, then what is the commercial fleet doing? So I started to do more and more research, and the Fish Project started to take shape. My partner, Bill Foss, who he created the idea and found the piece of real estate. We started to work together to open fish, and my wife and I had just bought our first home in the Bay Area, and we were expecting our first child, and you know, kind of went, okay, well, we're young enough that if all this goes belly up, we've got time to, you know, turn it around. But
so how did we get that numb as a society that we could, you know, throw 50 already dead fish overboard? It's so fascinating, and I know there's no answer to it. It's I heard a commercial this morning about a brain expanding tool. It's a computer program, and I thought, you know what we need is a heart expanding tool, not a brain expanding tool. We are way too much into our brains. But still, Kenny, what grabs you when you fish, or what is it in you that shifts when you look at that salmon that you serve and you know it's harvested sustainably? And
to me, it's just it's knowing that everything is working, that the rivers, the water, the fish, the coral, the algae, the temperature, that it's everything's working to sustain life. And if we remove that life from its habitat, and we do it in such a way that doesn't hurt the bigger picture, then we can sustain ourselves and sustain the ocean.
Do you honor every fish you cook?
Absolutely.
Kenny, thank you. And Dan, you said you were looking for a job. You try to be a soccer pro or something.
A soccer pro? No. No.
How did you get into this?
Band didn't pan out.
But what's moving you? Why usually we move through life and we have, you know, 50 different jobs and we move on after that. What is it about this that keeps you fascinated?
When I started this business, or right before I started this business, I was writing about seafood on a daily basis for the seafood industry, for the global seafood industry, working for a Norwegian company.
Just as a job?
Yeah, that was my job. And increasingly talking about seafood sustainability, increasingly creeping in, and of course working for the industry, you hear a lot from the industry, like, you know, oh, the greenies are at it again, you know, they're going to kill our business and things like that. And
the greenies.
What they would call them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you don't hear that word really anymore at all. It's much more collaborative. But what I found is that there was a real lack of information for the industry really about sustainability, what it meant, why it's necessary. And I just kept doing that and wanting to write more about sustainable food. But you know, it was the seafood industry, so there was a lot more to write about. And so I decided, well, I think I'll just strike out on my own and just write about all sustainable foods, you know, sustainable seafood, fair trade coffee, organic produce, naturally raised meats, things like that. So
what does it do in you?
I feel like I'm pushing the universe of what the right thing to do is, because there needs to be people to do that, because there's so many people that aren't aware, and there's so many people that don't understand the nutritional and the environmental aspects of eating sustainable food. And sustainable is not, you know, it's a work in progress. It's you never reach it. So it's always on improvement. How do we improve this so we improve the environment? How do we improve this so more inner city kids are eating good, healthy foods? So for me, every day when I publish my news every day, it's about how am I educating people? How can I, here's what's happening out there. And I give a lot of value, I think, to the industry, for them to make changes and continue the sustainable movement.
Yes. Great. Thank you for all you do. Kevin, besides you personally, you have triplets.
Yes.
Is that right?
Just 21 years old.
All three.
Yes.
Oh my God. I'm sure they're really easy to handle. What made you, after three generations, follow the footsteps, and what are you finding in your work?
Well, it was an interesting entree into organic and sustainable food production. I was born and raised on a ranch, a conventional dairy and beef ranch. And we raise only beef now on the ranch. And in Marin County, we have a very high cost of labor, high cost of land. And we found it very difficult to compete as a small family farmer with industrial agriculture really gaining ground. With a passion for the family farm, we wanted to do something differently to keep ourselves alive. So we looked at organic, we looked at grass-fed, and we looked at different niche markets because we thought we could add a bottom line to help our family survive. And in that education...
That was before you had kids even.
That goes back a few years, yeah. Actually, the kids were around. They were about 9 or 10 years old, and they'd hear us have these conversations of the fact that we can't make ends meet. Is this lifestyle worth it? Because we couldn't really make a living, even though it's a beautiful lifestyle. And we saw them perhaps losing interest, and they're the fourth generation that are involved right now. In learning, and Marin Organic has helped me immensely as being a part of Marin Organic and having people who understand and help pull farmers and ranchers together, give courage and education. Well, that's what happened to me, and it became my deepest passion. We now are able to survive. We have, my daughter is getting her sustainable ag degree from Santa Rosa JC, and my daughter Bridget works at the oyster farm full time. The boys work on the ranch. So it's become an exciting part of my life, and that's what drew me to the shellfish aquaculture. Understanding the potential impacts and our environment, our ecology around where we produce food. When I learned about shellfish aquaculture, I completely fell in love with it. I said, this is the best example we have. This is an opportunity for local people to have wonderful seafood, wonderful protein. At the same time, we're reducing the stress on our wild fisheries. So
Dan is reporting on news. Kenny is serving your oysters, and you are the producer. So I'm asking you, how have you seen the land change? You told me a story about a dung beetle, and it's still stuck with me. I don't get it straight. I want you to tell it. How is ecology re-manifesting, which is both in the water with the salmon, but on the land as well, within just a few years, right?
Sure. Well, you know, there are some unintended consequences, and some of the consequences of conventional agriculture are actually unknown, I could say that.
What do you mean by that?
Well, for example, the story you just touched on, you know, typically in livestock production, we worm our cattle, and those parasiticides do their job to protect the animal. But what they also do is they go through in the feces, end up in the ground. There are invertebrates that are typically feeding off the dung, and they get wiped out. We didn't know that. What we've seen since we have certified organic and we've stopped using parasiticides for all these years, the ecology of the soil has completely rebounded. Now the dung doesn't stay in a pile. These dung beetles have come back. They move it around and they dig holes and they bury it 4 feet away from the cow pie. So we don't have the burn spot underneath the dung. So we don't have the invasive weeds. People are saying, how are you going to control weeds? You can't use any chemicals. Well, by organic production, we've reduced our weed problem. We've increased productivity. It's been counterintuitive to the folks who are concerned about organic production, but it's a beautiful story of how nature really works.
And so let me just, if I get this right, usually the cow patty is spread out within a day or two to 3-4 square feet. And because of that, it's a natural fertilizer, because usually parasiticides are used. There's no life in the cow pile. It stays like a hot patty. Mm-hmm. It burns the grass, and that's the perfect breeding ground for invasive species that we don't want, like thistles.
That's exactly what happens. All that, all the nitrogen is held in one spot. It becomes a frisbee. And so there's no light and too much nitrogen, and it burns the ground. And that's the opportunistic weeds that choose those spots.
And if you burn the ground, you change the ecology of the grass, which means you end up with erosion problems down the road maybe. And then we are right back into agriculture and seafood. because whatever we do on the land ends up in the ocean. So there's a full circle that we have created.
That's exactly right. And we talked about that earlier, because these are the watersheds that we need to protect. Our ranch, by through also the value that Marin Organic has brought us, we were the first livestock operation in the state of California to become salmon safe certified because of our practices in the pastures, our manure management, our riparian zone management. And it's been a great example because our neighbors are able to see how this is working. They're recognizing that these pastures look beautiful. The animals look beautiful, and that this is possible. So that's the exciting
You look
part.
Beautiful.
I look gray.
Because we eat all this. Kenny, some last words from your end, and then we'll see you at Fish. I know we're all heading out there for lunch today, but you are still in Monterey. Are you coming back up?
This afternoon, I'm going to meet with a few folks at the aquarium this morning and then make my way up the hill.
And then there is a, is it a sustainable seafood festival, Kevin, that you are part of this weekend in San Francisco?
It's the San Francisco Oyster Fest or Oyster Festival. It's at Fort Mason. It's going on right now. It's starting at this moment and it'll be going all day. And it's a fundraiser. It's also an education opportunity because it's all Drake's Bay oysters. There'll be up to 100,000 oysters served in one day, and we have booths that talk about seafood sustainability, how we grow the oysters. We have seawater there with active live shellfish that people can learn from. It's a very exciting day.
100,000 oysters. So do you have any left if somebody was to go out to Drake's Bay Oysters today?
We do have some left, although I had I won't call it a heated conversation with my daughter, Bridget, who has to be at the farm. She goes, "You expect me to be able to keep everybody happy with what you left me?" But we do have staff that are still harvesting, and so everything's doing fine at the farm store also.
Okay, oysters in San Francisco at Fort Mason, you said,
starting right
now.
And music, it's a great time.
Or alternatively, lunch at Fish or dinner at Fish. You're coming up later, Kenny, again?
Yeah, I'll be up later. I don't know if I'll be stopping by the restaurant today. I will be there tomorrow.
Kenny Beloff of the restaurant Fish in Sausalito, Kevin Lunny from Drake's Bay Oyster Company and Lunny Ranch, and Dan McGovern live. What a treat. Thank you, Dan. Thank you all three.
Thanks, Helga,
for being here. And that about wraps it up for this week's edition of An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. Thank you to our guests again. Producer of An Organic Conversation is Heidi Hartley. Production assistance provided by Karim Shadley. Thank you, guys. Underwriting production provided by Mark Van Gelder. And always thanks to the team here at Green 960, Lisa Brooks, John Scott, and John Plessis. On the phone taking the call today, Tim Cruz. Thank you, Tim. And of course, thank you, our listeners, for being part of this show. Please tune in again next week when we will be discussing a program that places Iraqi war veterans onto organic farms and lets them heal by working with the land. Next week, Iraqi war veteran program on organic farms. For podcasts, my blog, and more information, please visit our website at anorganicconversation.com. Coming up next is the Gavin Newsom Show, so please stay put. I'm your host, Helga Hellberg. Have a great weekend. Hope to see you at Fish. And thanks again for listening to An Organic Conversation here at Green 960.